both of them in order to teach us what? That you have to make the bracha shahakal diyabidboro, whether you're eating raw
oats or raw wheat
or raw oats. Correct. Okay? Got it? Because we might have thought that in the case of oats, don't make a bracha at all. It's not necessary. So we say, no, you still have to make a bracha. Why? Because you're getting some enjoyment out of it. Don't ask me what it is, but you're getting something out of it.
Right. Suppose you mix it with milk and you have to...
Yeah, right. It's understood. Of course. In other words, once you improve upon it, then there's no question that it should also be shakal nidah.
Absolutely. Without any doubt.
This is what we just said before. Right. Okay. And then they ask the following question. I mean, goram and melach with zombies. And tell me, is this any worse than salt or zombies? Zombies is like brine. In other words, a mixture of salt and milk. Okay? Actually, it should be the Tanya, as we have learned in a Gemara someplace where it says, Al ha-melach, the Al ha-zomis. If a person decides that he wants to take some salt in his mouth, or if he wants to have some brine, so Omer, he says, Shahakol Yibidhori, makes this bracha. So, in other words, they're saying, look, this is no different, you know, than that, and so let it. So we learn now a general principle that you say shakal niyah b'dvorei for these kind of things. So he says istarich. Nevertheless, he says I have to have those instances. Why? Sal kodat echamina. We might think as follows: melach v'zomis, when it comes to having salt or brine, obed inish deshade lepume. There are times that a guy simply takes and he throws it into his mouth. The shadeh. Shadeh means he throws. He throws it into his mouth. In other words, every once in a while, let's say, did you ever have a craving for salt?
Well,
I sometimes
if he's drinking a margarita, the first thing they do is he drinks tequila, they throw some salt in their mouth before they take it to kill the taste.
So that's in all my rabbinical experience. I never had that.
Well, one would have to buy you a margarita. As a matter of fact, the rim of a margarita cocktail is usually dipped in salt.
Uh-huh.
And so the first thing you taste is you eat the salt.
Right.
And then you drink the tequila. It's all made with tequila.
Yeah.
It's a Mexican liquor.
Right. I know. I mean, I've heard of it. I mean, I'm not completely ignorant, but I never tasted it.
You have to get
you a bottle.
I don't know what would you make for that?
What, for the salt?
Salt.
He says you should say shakal nidvorei, right? Okay. Why? Because you're having some pleasure out of it. That's the basic reason. So you say shakal nidvorei. Obviously, you could say it for another reason why you say shakal. It's not fruit. It's not bread. It's not wine. It's nothing, right? It's only something which is none of these things. Right, it's a general. So the general purpose growth is
Somebody would put sugar in his mouth.
Same thing.
It'd be more likely.
Granted that sugar comes, you know, from the sugar cane, right?
The form is changed.
And so that you might think then that you should say, Bori Priha Adama, but nevertheless, it's no longer sugar cane, it's sugar.
Right.
It's been manufactured, it's been improved upon,
like,
everything else.
You remember we used to eat, children used to eat tunnel sicker, you know?
Yeah, you're right. The rock candy.
Right.
You get two things. The Russians used to put the sugar in the
Oh, yes, yeah, yes. My father, Oliver Shalom, he loved to drink tea that way, too.
He'll call it the couscous.
I still remember Friday night, that he would put a lump of sugar in his mouth and drink the tea out of the outside glass.
What do they call it?
That was the life.
The couscous.
No, that term we never used in my family.
That was
my parents came from Lithuania. I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
Lithuania.
My family.
No. So you and Rep Chaitovsky
as a matter of fact, his father, at one time, of course, the boys when they were young, his father was the sheikhet and the magid and the chazan in a town called Anixt. Now, Anixt was a big city in comparison to the little village where my parents lived, but it was only about 5 miles away. And so therefore, you know, we used to have landslide who lived in the big city. They were the Anixter.
Anixter.
And, you know, they came to this country, so first it was an Anixter society, and my father joined it.
Oh.
And then the Swarisha landslide came in, and they formed the Swarisha organization. So at that time, he left on Dixt, and he became a member of the Svardish organization.
Oh, I didn't know your father was a Svard.
I didn't say Svard. Svardish was the name of the little village.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's the name of the village.
The name of the village.
Oh, I thought it was the...
Yeah. So, you know, when I go to the cemetery to pay my respects to my father, as a matter of fact, my son David, when he came from Israel, just a couple of weeks ago, he says, Daddy says, I want to go and see Grandpa Osgood. He loved my father very, very much attached to him. He learned a lot from him.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I've never seen his grave. I wanted to take the other way. Matter of fact, he made a different story. He says, you know, I'm always going down. I'm visiting Kevin Rachel. I'm visiting the Moras HaMachpelah, you know, the graves of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and go to all these places on a regular basis, and yet I have not been to my grandfather's. Take me over there. So we went over there. And
your father's buried here.
My father's buried in New Mount Carmel Cemetery.
Oh, New Mount Carmel.
New Mount Carmel.
Oh,
well,
and
my mother too.
And
my mother and father are buried
in New York.
In New York, right. It's sort of on the border between Queens and Brooklyn.
It's an interesting point, though, not to be about.
Yeah.
The next generation of children don't know the graves.
That's true.
Unless sometimes the family gets it together, you know.
Right.
But I recently I took my my own children through, because the graves are dispersed.
Right.
And to show them,
it's important that you do.
It would be my grandparents.
Yeah.
Would be great grandparents to them.
There'll be a time, maybe, that they have to know what the parentage, the lineage is, you know.
Right. Right.
And it's important to know. Yeah.
It's going to disappear.
What they call it?
You mean the yichus?
Yichus.
Yes.
It's going to disappear, but it's a shame that you can be right there. Let's say that the children remember the grandparent.
Yeah.
So that they want to honor even the grandparent. Like my children, my father, mother. But that not too far away, just a few steps away, they don't know that the other graves are there. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. All right, anyway, to finish this little lineage over here, and then we'll go into the next case that we're going to discuss.
Okay.
Okay.
So
we said, you know, why do you make a bracha for salt? Why do you make a bracha for the brine? He says, because salt without echamini, he says, you might, you know, think that belach lezom is ovid inish to shalei lefumi, right? That salt or brine, sometimes a person will pop it into his mouth. This is what got us started off on the margarita. But when it comes to oat flour, he says, hoil the kosher. Not only is it difficult as far as the digestion is concerned, but you know what else? It's the kukiani. It also encourages the formation of worms in the stomach.
Hey, hey.
This is what the kukiani is.
The kukiani.
Yeah. As Rashi says, it says koloyim sheba mayayim. In other words, worms into the intestines. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So levare chalek lo levare chalek laal, then you should not make any bracha at all for this oat flour. So kamash malon. Nevertheless, we learn that you do make a bracha for it if you feel like popping it into your mouth. Why? Kaven diistei hanor mine, because inasmuch as a person does have some pleasure from it, as long as you enjoy, you know, the taste of it, whatever it may be, then in that case, you should make a bracha before him. And of course, as we said, the bracha would be shahakol. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a look at the Tosfos for a moment, the second Tosfos on the page, okay? You see where it says, came in the Isle Anomine, the last line that we just had, okay?
Yeah.
And inasmuch as a person will have pleasure from it, so he should make a bracha. So he says, v'nirin ha'dvorin, and therefore it would seem, what? The Odom shosa mashka, if a person drinks liquids, okay? Im ha'mashkin royim lishtos, the leis lehano mine leiboy bruche, if the liquids taste bad and he has no enjoyment out of it, then in that case he does not have to make a bracha before it. Okay,
but he doesn't know what it tastes like until he tastes it.
Let's say a castor oil or something. Okay. But the eis lehano mine below harafua boy bruche. But if he has pleasure from it, And it's not simply that he's taking it as a medication, where we said he doesn't have to, mm-hmm. right? Then in that particular case, boy, Boogie has to make a
bone. Right.
So that leads us back to the margarita. Now, I don't know how the margarita tastes.
People wouldn't drink it if they didn't. They wouldn't drink it.
Okay. Your experience tells me that it's good. Okay. Yeah. All right. So in that case, I have to make a bracha.
Make a shakal.
Yes.
It will cover not only the salt, but it covers the margarita too.
Right. Okay. But you know, sometimes you'll drink a liquor or something like that that really has a horrible taste to it. You know, not everybody likes the same liquors or something like that.
People think scotch is not so good.
Yeah, listen, I mean, my wife makes a face every time I give her a sip from, the scotch that I use Shabbos morning. I like to make kiddush Shabbos morning over, a schnapps or something.
Yeah,
mashke, right. So I usually take scotch over here. And she doesn't like it. She doesn't like scotch or rye or any of these things. Best that she would like would be something like,
blackberry brandy.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
Yeah,
but that they don't put down on the table at Shabbos. So I have to make do with what we have. Okay. But anyway, since I make the broch and she's only answering the main, and she takes a sip, it's all right. It's your turn. All right. Now we come to another case along the same line. This is, according to one version, it's Kore, and according to others, it's Kura. But take your pick, it doesn't make any difference. The question is, what is it? Yeah, what is it?
Yeah.
The answer is that this is a certain, like, the heart of a palm tree, okay? And the question is, again, what kind of a bracha should we make if you're going to eat this? All right, let's see how the discussion goes.
Hearts of palms are a delicate thing.
Yeah, but see, the problem with this is, as we'll see in a second, that first of all, when it's tender, it's not so delight. But if it gets hard, then it's like eating a piece of wood. You understand?
True.
Okay. So, this is a question. All right. Besides, there's another question that's involved. This we'll see in a second. All right. Anyway, how about it, since they raised the question, okay, what if you want to eat this kura? So Rav Yehuda Omar Bori Pri Adomas. He says you have to make the bracha Bori Pri Adomas. Why? Comes from the ground, he says. Of course, he might have said Bori Pri Hawaits, but it's not again. It's not a fruit of the tree, you see. That's the whole thing.
It is a tree.
It can be the fruit of the ground in the sense that anything that grows from the ground is literally fruit of the ground. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's kind of stretching.
Yeah, but you can't say Bori Priho AIDS because it's not the fruit of the tree. The fruit of the palm tree would be like dates, figs, and so on. This is the but not, you know, the heart of the tree itself. All right. So, at any rate, Rav Yehuda again says that he should say Bori Priho Adoma. Shmuel Omar, and Shmuel says Shakol Niyabidvori. Okay. And now again, Rav Yehuda Omar Bori Priha Domo. Rav Yehuda says you make the Bori Priha Domo. Why? Because he says Peirohu. In my opinion, it is still a fruit.
Mm.
This is what he says. It's like a fruit. So you say Bori Priha Domo. No.
If you say a fruit.
It's not, but as I said, while it's a fruit, but it's not a fruit in the sense that the fig or the date would be, you say. Understand? This is why. But the Shmuel Omar, what does Shmuel say? He says, Shakol Niyabid Dvaro. This is the bracha that you make. That's what you want to eat. Rav Yehuda Omar Bori Priha Adomo. Yeah, right. Peiro. The Shmuel Omar, Shakol Niyabid Dvaro. Why? Hoil the so-called Ahakshos. Why? Because you know what's going to happen to this heart of the palm? It's going to turn into hard wood.
After you eat it.
Yeah. So you don't want that.
Is there a clue there that, let's say, that the tree would reproduce fruit, but which essentially reproduces the tree?
Of course.
Now, the other situation, it has nothing to do with reproduction. It's still, it dies as a tree or whatever you take.
Right,
it
right.
Tree.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, we'll see. I mean, that the reasoning comes along more or less these lines. All right, let's continue. Let's see. Omalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, he says, Shinino. Says to him, hey, whiz kid. Well, there are different opinions as to what the word Shinino. But normally, when you find the expression in Gemara, so Shinino means a smart boy.
Wise guy. Wise guy.
Not necessarily wise guy. He's complimenting.
He's complimenting. Comment?
He's not saying it in a nasty way. He's saying it to him in a nice way. Okay?
So he admires it. To Rabbi Yehuda.
The Shmuel said it to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, he said, Rabbi Yehuda, boy, that's very smart. I think that this is related, you see, to the idea like Bishinantam Nebanecha. In other words, you're a tremendous student or something like that. And that's why I say, this is the way I understand, and it's complimentary. I've seen one opinion, which is Meshuga, and they say that Shinanor means long tooth guy. You with the buck teeth are long teeth. Which to me doesn't make sense, because he's saying it as a compliment. He's not saying it in a nasty way. Okay? He says, Kabosach Mistabra, as far as sense is concerned, it makes sense like what you're saying. Why? Because let's take another example. The Hort's known, because if we take, for example, a radish. They say so for the hot shows. You know what would happen to the radish eventually? It's going to turn hard. And yet, the radish is going to turn hard. But nevertheless, in Barchin and Ale, and you know what bracha we make over it? We still make what bracha for radishes? Bore prihadom. So, in other words, I like your reasoning. Your reasoning is very good. That, in other words, this heart of the palm, even though it's going to get hotter later on, right? It loses softness. But nevertheless, all right, make the bracha bore prihadom. But he says, you know what? But nevertheless, even though I like your reasoning, this is not the reason. Can't accept this reason. Why not? So known, he says, because when radish is not a yinche, people plant radishes adata the pugla, because they want to eat the pugla. Now the question is, what is the pugla? So pugla, according to Jastro, means the what we call it, they call it like a tuber. What do I mean by a tuber? You know, potatoes are tubers, and radishes are tubers. In other words, this part, the fleshy part itself becomes a tuber. Okay?
Horseradish is a tuber.
Yeah, right, it's also a tuber. So he says, people plant it specifically for that particular purpose. Not only for eating it, but also that it should also be planted this way. Okay? But Diklo, he says, when people plant palm trees, he says, lo nate inche adata de kura, people do not plant it simply because they want to eat the heart of the palm. Nobody eats it as a normal man. Okay? Why do they normally plant it? They normally plant it because they want the real fruit that comes from it.
Yeah.
They want the dates, they want the figs, after all, these are all different species of palms, right? Of course, in those days they didn't have coconuts. Where they live, but it's also a type of a palm tree. In other words, the palm, you have different varieties of palms, but essentially,
coconut would be the fruit.
Right. They are producing real fruit, and the people really are interested in the fruit. They're not interested in a little piece that's eternally going to turn hard.
Right.
So the chol heicha de leinate inche adato de hochi lo mevarchin unalei, and wherever people do not plant for the purpose, for this particular purpose, then in that case, if this is what you want, then you don't make the bracha for it. But that's really a question more than a statement. You can't tell at this particular point, is it a statement or a question? Okay? So, why can't we tell? Because now they bring another example. Baharet Slav. Now, Slav is a type of a berry that grows on a bush, and it's translated in the dictionary as caper berry. I've never seen a caper berry, but obviously back in those days it was a popular thing. Okay? Now it grows as a bush, which means that you have, the stem, you have branches over here, you have leaves, and then you have berries that grow out of it. Okay.
Take a blueberry or
blackberry. Yeah, right. Exactly right. Yeah.
I know what capers are, but I've never heard of caper berries.
Yeah. I mean, when we use the word caper today, what we have in mind is the kind of stuff that they stick inside of anchovies or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and olives.
Yeah, and olives and so on. Right. But maybe that blacks. I always thought that what they throw into anchovies, this is more like maybe
when it's rolled, when the anchovies come rolled up, they're rolled
right, right, right. And then they put this blackberry in. That's the caper, right? The caper. Blackberry is the caper. So maybe it is. Maybe
they're describing it.
Right. Probably, maybe that's what they're describing. Okay. So they say, all right, the Haaretz law, and how about this caper berry? That's caper tree or caper bush. Caper bush. Okay, we call it caper bush. Okay. The Nate Inche Adato de Pirco. People are planting it for the flower. Apparently, the flower is the best part of this particular thing to eat.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when, Utnan, and we have learned Almine Nitzpo is another word for the same bush. It's what Rashi and everybody else tell us, that for the different varieties of caper plants, right? Alhe olin, whether it is for the leaves of it, v'yal ha'tmoros, the tmoros are also they are like branches, the small branches or something like that. Others say that, remember I said it has leaves and it has like little twigs or something, little branches, okay? This is what the tomorrows are. So what bracha do you eat? What bracha do you make if this is what you want to eat? You say, Ome bari pri adomo, right? The yahu have yonos. Now, the yonos are the actual fruit itself, the berries. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the berries, we are a kaprisin. Rashi says that the kaprisin, that's the like with a grape, it's a skin that protects, all right? The other skin protecting the berry. This is how Rashi explains.
What do you make
of
blueberries? It's also on a bush.
Correct. You say it now, say Boropria waits, believe it or not.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, you
don't
say Boropria waits, because they're considered like a form of tree, the way it grows.
No, but it's not a tree, it's a bush.
No, it grows Bill
Stephanier.
It's
a big bush, though. Big bush, it's still not a tree,
it
though.
Could be, not right. Definitely it could be. Yeah, it was surprising to me too. I mean, in a case of doubt, you don't know what the bracha to make. In that case, that's one possibility. Or the other one, definitely it's growing from the ground, so you could get by with Bor Priva Dhamma. But according to many, anything that grows on these bushes is actually the bushes a form of a tree.
Let me ask you this: what about strawberries or cranberries?
Strawberries grow on the ground. Cranberries, though, they don't grow on bushes the way these things.
So, what do you say, Bor Priva Dhamma?
Bor Priva Dhamma, sure.
Well,
I don't know who's going to be eating cranberries, without treatment. That brings us back to the original discussion that we had up above.
Then you make a shackle then.
Right, right. In other words, once you make it into cranberry sauce or something like that, you want to eat it, then in that case it's a shackle nebidor. Exactly. Okay. So we're learning.
Yeah.
All right. So, getting back to
the
caper. So, the Alva Yonish says then for the berries, the Ala Kaprisin, or for the skins that cover the berry, right? Omer Burpia Waits. He says, you make a bracha Burpia Waits because this is the real fruit of this particular plant. And, with real fruit, I mean, like, for example, with grapes. If we would say, if we eat a grape, we're eating the grape and we're also eating the skin that covers it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whether we eat one part of this fruit or the other, you make an apple. Eat an apple. My wife religiously takes the peel off the apple.
I do too.
I like the
you
peel
guys are
on the apple.
Best part of the whole apple.
I like the peel on the apple when I eat it.
It's the healthiest part.
Right.
But if it doesn't
in any case, what bracha am I saying? So Bori peel waits. All right. So,
well, it doesn't make a difference
whether
you eat the peel or not.
Right.
Yeah,
so Omer Rab Nachman by Yitzchak says, Lov Nate Inche Adata Deshusa. He says, when people plant this berry, this caper bush, pardon me, so they plant it with in mind that, they're going to have the Shusa. What is the Shusa? The Shusa, we have to say again, and I'll take a look how he translates it in Gestalt. But obviously what it means is, again, is that even if it's like twigs or branches or something, nevertheless, it is, edible. It's something that people like to eat, okay? Let's see how he translates the word Shusa.
Jastrow is not considered an apicurus.
Why should Jastrow be an apicurus?
I'm just remembering what I saw in that movie, Winds of War.
Well, that was...
That was his life.
Yeah,
but I'm sure he had his close to the type of people that were related to it.
He wrote before we came in.
Shusa. He says, this is the sproutings of the caper tree. People will plant a caper tree for the sake of the sprouts. All right, so apparently, as I said before, I mean, it's something, whether it tastes good, okay? So they like it. There are different parts to this, and apparently most of it is edible.
So this would be appropriate, then?
Yeah, so it would be appropriate, because people are planting it for this specific purpose, right? Dikla, on the other hand, when it comes to the palm tree, lo nate in she adata dukura, they're not planting it because they want to eat, you know, the heart of the palm. And that's not the reason, and therefore what? And therefore, for kura, it's not bori priho adoma, and it's certainly not bori priho eitz. If you're meshuggah enough that you want to eat it, so in that particular case, it makes shahakal even. And then it concludes by saying, "V'yafal gav," and even though the kal say Shmuel Rav Yehuda, even though Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda for his reasoning, if you remember,
they called him
Shinanah, right? So nevertheless, he says, the Gemara says, "Hilchaso kavosi deShmuel, halacha follow Shmuel." In other words, that in these cases that we mentioned, we make simply the bracha Shaha Kol Yehudah. All right, now another question about this caper bush, and that'll be the last thing that we'll discuss tonight, okay? Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav. Again, Rav Yehuda is quoting this time not Shmuel, but Rav. All right, he says, Tzalof shel Orla. What happens in the case of this caper bush, right? And it's Orla. Now remember, what is Orla? Orla means that the fourth year, I mean, the first 3 years, you're not allowed to
eat
its
fruit,
right? That's all. Of course, we observe an additional year because we no longer have the capability of bringing it to Yerushalayim in the fourth year, okay? All right. But now the question is, does the rule of Orla in the case, in this particular case, apply outside of Eretz Yisrael? It says, Bechutz al Oretz. What if we're outside Eretz Yisrael? So what do you do? So he says, Zorek Eswav Yonos, you have to throw away the berries because that is definitely fruit, right? And you can't eat it yet while it's still in the state of Orla.
Yeah.
But you know what you could have? You could have the, like the coverings, in other words, like the, take a look at Rashi, Kaprisim. It's quite a few lines up from where we are right now. Okay. Anyway, he says, "Hu klipa gedoyla." He says, "This is like a great big skin covering, shesivivos hapri, which surround the fruit itself." Okay, ke'en klipa, like the shell, hagedela soviv egozim dakin, that grows around the soft nuts. In other words, you take nuts. And there's a klipa around it, okay? Now, of course, he's not talking about, walnut shells. Nobody's going to eat walnut shells, you understand? Nobody's going to eat filbert shells. But, you have other things that people do like to eat, like, for example, pumpkin seeds, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they dry them out.
Yeah, right, okay? So, anyway, he says, the fruit you cannot have, even in Chutz La'aretz, even outside of Eretz Yisrael. During this fourth year, or the first 3 years, whatever it may be, you don't eat orla. But he says the skin covering, the shell or whatever it is, that surrounds this, as he says, that you can have. Okay. Lameimro. So is this to tell us then that Yonos Peire the Kafrisum of Peire? Is this to tell us then that therefore that what? That the berry itself is fruit, but the covering that protects the fruit is not fruit. Raminhu. And didn't we have a contradictory teaching which tells us Almine Nitzpo when it comes to caper bushes, Al He'olim, whether it's the leaves for Yalat Moros or the twigs, Omer Bori Priha Doma, if that's what he wants to eat, for Yalho Evyonos, for Yalak Afrisin, and when it comes to the berries or the shells, skins, that's a short account. Omer, he says, what bracha b'rpiho waits. So he says, who the Omer Rabbi Akiva? He says, what the opinion that he's following is Rabbi Akiva's. Ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, where it says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Tzalot, this caper bush, Misaser, you take Miser. In other words, you take, you know, a tithe of it. In what form? Timoros ve'evyonos, the kaprisim. Those tender like branches, or maybe it's tender leaves or something like that, okay? Or evyonos, or you know, the berries or the kaprisim. But Rabbi Akiva, Omer Rabbi Akiva says, no, ein misaser el evyonos bilvad. You only take miser from the evyonos, but not from the other things. Why? Bipnei shehu pri, because only the Evyonos is fruit. So we see that there's a difference of opinion between Rabbi Eliezer, who includes the kaprisim, in other words, the skins, correct, as being fruit, just as the, you know, the actual fruit itself, and Rabbi Akiva says no. Bnei mo halocha ka Rabbi Akiva. Now, shall we say the halocha follows Rabbi Akiva? So, iyama halocha Rabbi Akiva, if it had said specifically that the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, then Hava Amina, I would have said, Afilu Bo'oretz, that even in Eretz Israel, it should follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and therefore, what Maaser do you take? You take only from the fruit, right? So, Kamash Walon, therefore, we learn what, Kol HaMekel Bo'oretz, that whoever takes a lenient view in Eretz Israel, Allah Kamosa Bakusalors, then there's no question that this opinion is what becomes the halacha outside of Eretz Israel. Avol Ba'aretz lo, but not in Eretz Israel itself. In other words, in Eretz Israel, we want to be more machbir, as we would say, because the land is holy, and we want to be more strict to make sure, you know, that we are following the laws of Maaser. So that in that case, we reject the lenient opinion, such as Rabbi Akiva over here, right?
Yeah.
But it would be okay for Kutzalahs. The name, and this is what they ask now, the name of Halacha of Rabbi Akiva Kutzalahs, and should we say then that the Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva outside of Eretz Israel? The Chola Mekel Bohoretz Halacha Kamoisei Bechutzalahs, because of this principle that we've just enunciated, that whoever has the lenient opinion in Eretz Israel, the halacha follows him outside in the diaspora, right? So he says, if he had actually said that, then Hava Amina would have said, Hani Mili, what are we talking about? Gabi Maaser Ilan. We're talking about only the tithing of the trees, the Ba'oretz Gupo Midarabon. Because taking tithe from trees, this is only something which the Rabbanan said even in Eretz Yisrael. Avol gabe orlo. But when it comes to orlo, in other words, tithing and orlo are not the same. Diba oretz, where there's no question that in Eretz Yisrael, midoraisa, the Torah itself has commanded us that we must observe the laws of orlo in Eretz Yisrael. So emo, then I should say, v'chutz v'oretz namin igzor, that therefore I should also make a gezerah against any form of orla in, you know, chutzlars. In other words, whether our tree is an Eretz Yisrael or whether our tree, you know,
is in diaspora
fruit, right? It makes no difference. Kamash Molon, Therefore, we learn, right, that it's not necessarily so. Well, I'll stop at this particular point, and we'll continue from here next week in Yirtzeh Hashem. Okay? Vav Omed Aleph.
Lamed Vav Omed Aleph.
Omed Aleph, right. Okay.
Now
for
you
the
go
benefit
on.
Of those who were absent
index
last week, just a couple of words about what we are dealing with at this particular moment. Okay? First of all, there are two different concepts. Concept number one is Orla, and concept number two is Miser. Okay? All right, what is the difference between them? So as we know, Miser means that you give one-tenth of what it is, okay? And of course, they have different types of Misers, as we've already have discovered. You know that you have, first of all, the Miser which goes to the Levi, that's called Miser Rishon. Then there's the Miser, the 10% which we go, we bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it and so on. That's called Miser Sheni. And then the third year and the sixth year of the seven-year cycle, instead of a Maser Sheni, we have instead what we call Maser Ani. In other words, that 10% has to be given to the poor people. All right. But regardless, now we're talking about the fact that Maser has to be given. Now the question is, from what is Maser given? So according to the law of the Torah, it's written, Masa degoncho tiroshko v'yitzarecha. Masa degoncho means that you give first of all from grain. Tirosh means that you have to give it from wine. The Yitzarecha means that you have to give it from olive oil. Okay? These are the three things that Midaraisa, as we would say, in other words, according to the Torah, this is what we give Maaser from. However, our rabbis then came and they said that you should give Maaser from other things that go as well. Alright, so guns fine. So that's Maaser. Now, of course, what do they include in Maaser? They said, for example, that vegetables, yorok, okay, that yorokos, you know, as we say, you know, show yorokos and so on, right, that yorokos, vegetables, are also liable to miser. In other words, we should take miser from it. Okay, so that's the law of miser in general. Now, Orla, this is a different proposition. Orla is specifically a law only for trees. Okay? Only trees. And of course, when I say a tree, I mean the fruit of the tree. Okay? Alright. As we learned that during the first 3 years, when a tree produces fruit, we're not allowed to eat of that fruit. This is called Orla. The fourth year that it produces fruit in Eretz Yisrael, again, as long as the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, people would take that fruit and they would bring it to Yerushalayim, just like Maaser Sheni, and consume it over there. Naturally, if the fruit is liable to be rotten, then just as in the case of Maaser Sheni, that anything that you want to take to Yerushalayim, if it's not going to last,
change it into money.
Then
sell
you
it.
Change it into money, right? You redeem it, all right, you sell it, and the money you put aside, you have to keep it separate so it doesn't get mixed in with anything else, and then you take it to Yerushalayim, and there you have to spend it on all kinds of food and eat within Yerushalayim itself. Yeah.
Orla, what do you do with the fruit of the first 3 years? I mean, what, you just
can't do it? You have to throw it away. So.
You can't even give it to the poor?
No. No.
You have to throw it
because
away.
Because the prohibition extends to them just as well. I mean, they're not allowed to eat just. How are they different from you? No. There are other things, you see, where a poor person is permitted to eat. And, for example,
seems like a waste.
So was Omentum. Okay.
There must be some basis to that, though. Why 3 years? Why only 3 years?
You're
well, because
to a young tree, given
yeah, exactly. It really
starts.
Requires right.
But
the fruit should be mature. That's essentially what it is. They felt that, you know, before you could really enjoy it, the fruit should already be of a mature size. And so that is the basic reason why. Okay? But as I say, when we start to look for reasons, we don't always know that we have the right answer.
Okay.
This is what the Torah says, so, you know, all right, so now this brings us to, you know, another problem. And of course, the other problem is, you know, the one that they're talking about over here. The last fruit that they were discovering, that they were discussing, was this kind of a bush which grows berries. And even these berries have different names. But at any rate, the English translation for no matter which name that they used over here is capers. And we pointed out last week that has nothing to do necessarily with the kind of little
capers that we know of.
Right, maybe it is. I don't know. When we eat anchovies and they have capers, the caper is actually, it's a blackberry, isn't it?
It's
a little round blackberry, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I haven't eaten it so long.
It looks like a...
Right. Yeah, so I guess that this is it, yeah.
It's kosher.
It's correct. I mean, in other words, it may be related to a certain extent, to spices. This may be so. But there's a very peculiar thing about this plant, okay? First of all, as we've seen, this type of a bush is considered technically a tree. Mm-hmm. For purposes of making a bracha, right? So that the fruit that grows on this particular bush, you make the bracha of Bori Pri Ha'etz on it. And of course, as we've already discussed, the same thing would be true of many other types of berries as well. As for example, blackberries, blueberries, they grow on bushes, and so that therefore, good evening, David, therefore, technically, we should make the bracha of Bori Pri Ha'etz for these particular fruits when we eat, okay. But this particular plant was considered edible even not just in the fruit itself. The fruit itself, remember, is called the avionos. Mm-hmm. Either avionos or avionos. Actually, we find the word avionoa in the last chapter of Kohelis. And there is also, it's translated as caperberry in the English translation, okay. So So I guess that is really the correct way to pronounce it. Okay, avionos. So this is the fruit itself, this is the berry. But at the same time, we saw that certain other parts of the tree were considered also edible. What were they? The young twigs and the blossoms. They were considered edible too. So the question was, of course, what bracha do we make? And there was a difference of opinion, okay? Mm-hmm. Difference of opinion, as we saw, is that according to some, particularly according to Rabbi Akiva, right, only the fruit itself, the avionos, should be considered fruit liable to the bracha Bori Pri Ha'etz. So what if, for example, you want to eat the blossoms, or you want to eat the tender twigs, and then in that particular case we saw that the bracha that you make for that is Bori Pri Ha'adoma. Okay? This is what we saw last week. Then we also saw...
Well, is that the final decision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the final decision, by the way. I mean, this is what the Shulchan Aruch also accepts as being the decision based upon the discussion here. David?
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
What was the word for the fruit?
No, avionos. If you take a look in a Tanakh, look in the book of Kohelis, and you'll see in the last chapter the word is sofer ha-avionos. And the usual translation is the caper bush, okay? Meaning, that it will become spoiled. In other words, actually, Kohelis over there is talking about the fact that unfortunately, life has an end to it. As we grow older, we lose our various senses. Our eyes no longer see the way they should. Our ears don't hear as well as they should. Our feet don't go as well as they should. Our teeth are not grinding the way they should, etc., etc. And but nevertheless, before we reach the point, where we have to give back our soul to the Benu Shalalam, we should always remember the fact, that God sov devar kol nishmo, right? What is the final conclusion that Kohelis brings? He says, as Lakim Yeroh, fear God, V'yes Mishpatov, and also, observe his statutes, his laws, and so on. Kizeh Kol Ha'adam, because this, in the final analysis, is the ultimate purpose of being a human being. Kizeh Kol Ha'adam. Okay. So, at any rate, getting back over here. All right. The question, yes, David?
I'm not sure whether...
Yeah.
On Orla. Mm-hmm. This is in Kutzla Arts as well as Israel?
Technically, the answer is yes. However, I'm going to go over this din very shortly. because it's brought in over here.
Also an arla.
Yeah.
Can you give the fruit to an animal to eat? And if so, can you? Well, can you do that? Can you sell the fruit to someone to give to an animal?
No.
But you can give it to your own animal. You can derive profit from benefit from it by giving it to your own animal.
Correct.
But you can't sell
it. Prohibition is, you know, against eating. Okay? This is ultimately what the prohibition is. I mean, if you want to have the animals feed, you could.
It's permitted to give it to the animals?
Yeah.
The fruit of the first three years?
If they eat it, I don't know if they like it.
So the prohibition is only for human beings?
Prohibition is for a human being, right, exactly. Okay. All right. Now, when it came to the question, I want to go back again a little bit over here, up above, and see how the discussion is, particularly because some of you were not here last week, so let's review again. All right, let's go up to Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. You see where we are over there? It's roughly two-thirds of the way down.
Okay, yeah.
Now, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav.
Right? I see, yeah.
Okay. So, the question that he asked over there is, Salaf Shel Arla, right?
Yes.
If you have, you know, this caperberry bush, and it's Arla, in other words, it's only in the first years of its growth. Okay? So, what is the din concerning it? So, he says, Bechutzalo Oretz, if you're living outside of Eretz Israel, and this is where the bush is growing, then what do you do? Zorekis Aviyonos, right? Then you throw away the berries itself, but Vyocheles Akaprisim, but you're forbidden to eat, you know, the tender twigs, the buds, and so on and so forth. Okay. So the Meimra. So now the Gemara asks the following question. It says, are we then to conclude that the Avionos Pere, the Kaprisim are Pere, that the Avionos are fruit, but the Kaprisim are not fruit? Raminhu. Didn't we have something which contradicts us? What is the contradictory statement? It says, Amine Nitzpah. Notice this is another name. Salav. Nitzpah, these are all names for the same bush. Why it has so many different names, this I can't answer you, but this is the way it is.
Okay, we accept it.
Right, so the different types of Nitzpah, which in this case again means the same thing, caper, berry bush,